Richard wondered where they were. This didn't seem to be a sewer. Perhaps it was a tunnel for telephone cables, or for very small trains, or for something else. He realized that he did not know very much about what went on beneath the streets of London. He walked nervously, worried that he'd catch his feet in something, that he'd stumble in the darkness and break his ankle. The Carabus strode on ahead, nonchalantly, apparently uncaring of whether Richard was with him or not. The crimson flame cast huge shadows on the tunnel walls. Richard ran to catch up. "Let's see," said De Carabas. "I'll need to get her to the market. The next one's in, 2 days' time, if I recall correctly, as of course I unfailingly do. I can hide her until then." "Market?" asked Richard. "The floating market. But you don't want to know about that." "No more questions?" Richard looked around. "Well, I was going to ask you where we are now, but I suppose you were going to refuse to tell me." The Marquis grinned once more. "Very good," he said approvingly. "You are in enough trouble already."
"You can say that again," sighed Richard. "My fiancée's dumped me and I'll probably have to get a new telephone."
"Temple and Arch, a telephone is the least of your troubles." De Carabas put the flare down on the ground, resting it against the wall, where it continued to sputter and flame, and he began to climb up some metal rungs set into the wall. Richard hesitated, and then followed him. The rungs were cold and rusted. He could feel them crumbling roughly against his hands as he climbed, fragments of rust getting in his eyes and mouth. The scarlet light from below was flickering, and then it went out. They climbed in total darkness.
"So are we going back to Dor?" he asked.
"Eventually. There's a little something I need to organise first. Insurance. And when we get into daylight, don't look down."
"Why not?"
asked Richard, and then daylight hit his face, and he looked down. It was daylight.
"How was it daylight?" a tiny voice asked, in the back of his head. It had been almost night when he entered the alley, what, an hour ago?
And he was holding onto a metal ladder that ran up the outside of a very high building. But a few seconds ago he was climbing up the same ladder, and he'd been inside, hadn't he? And below him he could see London. Tiny cars, tiny buses and taxis, tiny buildings, trees, miniature lorries, tiny, tiny people. They swam in and out of focus beneath him. To say that Richard Mayhew was not very good at heights would be perfectly accurate, but would fail to give the full picture. It would be like describing the planet Jupiter as bigger than a duck. Richard hated clifftops and high buildings. Somewhere not far inside him was the fear, the stark, utter, silently screaming terror that if he got too close to the edge, then something would take over, and he would find himself walking to the edge of a clifftop, and then he would just step off into space. It was as if he could not entirely trust himself, and that scared Richard more than the simple fear of falling ever could. So he called it vertigo, and hated it and himself, and kept away from high places. Richard froze on the ladder, his hands clamped tightly to the rungs, his eyes hurt somewhere behind the eyeballs. He started breathing too fast, too deeply.
"Somebody," said an amused voice above him, "wasn't listening, was he?"
Richard's throat didn't work. He swallowed, moistening it. "I can't move." His hands were sweating. What if they sweated so much that he simply slipped off into the void?
"Of course you can move. Or if you don't, you can stay here, hanging onto the side of the wall until your hands freeze and your legs buckle and you tumble to a messy death 1,000 feet below."
Richard looked up at the Marquis. He was looking down at Richard and still smiling. When he saw that Richard was watching him, he let go of the rungs with both his hands and waggled his fingers at him. Richard felt a wave of sympathetic vertigo run through him.
"Bastard," he said under his breath. and he let go of the rung with his right hand and moved it up 8 inches until it found the next rung. Then he moved his right leg up 1 rung. Then he did it again with his left hand. After a while, he found himself at the edge of a flat roof, and he stepped over it and collapsed. He was aware that the Marquis was striding along the roof, away from him. Richard felt the rooftop with his hands and felt the solid structure beneath him. His heart was pounding in his chest. A gruff voice some distance away shouted, "You're not wanted here, De Carabas. Get away. Clear off." "Old Bailey," he heard De Carabas say, "you're looking wonderfully healthy." And then footsteps shuffled towards him, and a finger prodded him gently in the ribs. "You all right, laddie? I've got some stew cooking back there. You want some? It's starling." Richard opened his eyes. "No, thank you," he said.